All right, 6 o'clock, we'll call the work session to order. Let's see, so we got one thing. Don't have a lot going on tonight, but the Syracuse Technologies thing. Why don't we start there.
As we talked about in the budget work sessions, we're moving to a voice over IP phone system because our existing phone system is antiquated. I also had brought you a proposal for a network upgrade project during the budget work session that was voted down. We do have to do some network improvements to make the voice over IP system work. We have several areas in the building that have what are essentially called the dumb switches.
So you want to have...
By all means, take
so what you want to do is you're called home runs, right? So you want to have it from point A to point B with no interruption in between. The interruption in between now is called, it's just a dummy switch. So you have one cable going from, say, Roman to me, and then it's plugged into a switch, and then going from me to the server room. A home run means it's going right from Roman right to the server room. So it alleviates that dumb switch. So that's what the home run is. And when we go over the voice over IP, you kind of want to alleviate some of those dumb switches. I mean, do you have to? No, but it's always good point of failure, right? Because then there's other instances as well too for quality of service. There's latency that gets involved. So it's good to eliminate that. Al had Syracuse Technologies over here
yesterday.
I forgot what day it is, Wednesday, taking a look at the infrastructure, and they identified and they looked at these home runs and found out that some of these switches are in play and suggested, you know, just run a Cat 5 cable, right, or Cat 5 or Cat 6 cable, or whatever they want to run, but do it as a home run. And then in the justice's office, we have a cable that's running on the floor, and that's a trip hazard, right? So we want to kind of make that, you know, permanent structure and go through the ceiling and down through the wall. So they have the proposal in there to do that. And then we have the correct switch in play today. However, it doesn't have enough available ports in case one goes bad, right? So which means is we have a 24-port switch. We have 24 ports available. If one goes bad, guess what? That person's out of luck, both via the computer and the phone. So the good thing to do is upgrade that switch to, we found going from a 24 to 48 port really isn't that much more, and it allows expansion, right, for growth. So Al and I met with Syracuse Technologies. Al met with them yesterday. We met with them today on the phone, talked about a Meraki switch. It's a full PoE switch, means it's powered over Ethernet. The phones are powered over the Ethernet cable that is ran, and the Meraki switch is actually a Cisco switch now. Meraki and Cisco are the same company. It's a fully managed switch, right? So if we do have an issue with a port, they could actually just go into the web portal and they can make the changes right there. That would alleviate tech time, right? For them to come and drive all the way here to make any changes necessary, because they can do it from the comfort of the office, right? So that would alleviate that. The design would be to keep the 48 port switch as the primary, and then the secondary switch that we still have, which is good, as the secondary switch. So that's it.
So why do you want two switches? If you want a home run, why do you want to put a second switch in? Is the 48 switch enough? Or?
So no, our current switch is a 48 port switch.
Oh, that's
our current switch is a 48 port switch.
Okay.
And it is full. There are no open ports in it whatsoever.
So in case one of those ports on that switch go bad?
No. I got that you said 24 port.
Yeah,
I understood
sorry,
that.
I thought it was a 48.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the difference in cost between a 24 and a 48 port switch, I was looking online today, the prices out there. It's like $350.
Right.
The logical thing to do would be to migrate all of our primary dot drops or primary home runs over to the managed switch, so that if there's ever a problem, like Jeff said, we don't have to pay a tech to come out here to do new networking work. They can do it from their office. And then any drops that are for things that are like the drop for the DA's office, that can go into, because it doesn't get used right now, that can go into the existing switch that we have that is not a managed switch.
Okay.
If anything goes bad on it, they got to come out here
okay.
and take care of it.
That's why you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, that answers the question. Thank you.
We do have money in this year's budget, Dave said, in contingency to pay for this. We knew we had to, I mean, everybody here knew we had to do some network work. We talked about it in the budget work sessions, that there's some network deficiencies that and this will take care of several of the network deficiencies that we have.
Well, we knew that we had to do phone work.
Well,
telephone work,
yes, yeah.
The network work.
Right,
we didn't
right,
know,
yeah,
or else this
right.
would have already been discussed
yeah.
previously.
Yeah, we. Yeah.
Right.
How long should this last? Maybe I missed that in the conversation.
How long do these last?
How long should, yeah.
These have them last 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Okay, so this isn't a.
This is not a computer that you need to replace in 7 years, no.
Okay.
Yeah. You have somebody, yes, 10, 15 years. We have switches out there that are 20 years old, you know.
I wasn't sure if any of the newer ones require a replacement.
No.
So this is item C?
Yeah. These actually are easier than the older ones to configure because it's more of a web-based GUI as it is the, you know, consoling in and running certain prompts to configure these. It's a lot more user-friendly.
I'm good with it.
I have no problem with it.
Okay. That'll be item C on the agenda. I got an email from the Northwest Fire District. We knew this was going to occur because they put in their new firehouse over on Smoky Hollow, so they gave us the 30-day notice. They will be out in on December 31st. Let's see, Syracuse Technologies. Is Jack coming tonight or no?
He was not going to.
No. They want to move, Jack came in and he expressed he thought that moving the planning board from a 7-member down to a 5-member would be, this would be a good time to do it because there's a couple of members that are looking to either get off it. Is that what he said, get off or retire?
No, we have one member that her term is up, and we have another member that, because of work conflicts, he's very rarely able to make the meetings, and he has indicated that he was considered resigning.
So he said he thought that they could handle their business with 5 people just as easily. He thought it would, Jack I'm talking about now, thought it would be appropriate to move it from 7 to 5. And you know, he's in charge of the planning board. I didn't see any reason to, not do that. We have to, have the planning board in place by the first of the year anyway, so.
So in order to change the number, we got to do a local law.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking,
yeah.
So January 1st, it's not that far away.
Right.
So we probably should call for the adoption of a local law. Reduce it from 7 to 5 or second meeting in December.
So
the
Dina
public hearing,
printed,
right?
Yeah.
She printed the old one.
Yeah, she printed the old one, so we're essentially just reversing the language that was changed in the when it was done in 2012 back to what it was previously.
Yeah.
So the only question that I had, I think this is a great idea. The only question that I had about this, Tony, is a question for you. When they start talking about the terms of new members, I'm assuming we're no longer going to have 7-year terms. They're going to be 5-year terms?
Right.
Okay. So that'll all have to be rewritten as well?
Yeah. I've got the one that we did before, and it's like Al said, all we really need to do is reverse it.
So we probably should do a resolution authorizing Dina to advertise for that, for the public hearing for the next meeting?
Yep.
Okay. I'll have her write it up.
It's D.
That'll be D.
Because even though, I mean, technically the local law doesn't go into effect until after the Secretary of State, but we'll be all right.
Hey, what?
When you do a local law, you have to send it to the state.
Right, for 30 days.
Yeah,
right.
30 days. So even if we do it in a second meeting,
yeah,
which is 17th or whatever, we're going to drift over to January a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
Okay. All right.
What you can do at the hearing or the meeting in January, organizational meeting, mm-hmm, just appoint 5 people.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The Parks and Recreation position. So I had a conversation with Supervisor Sykes from the town of Van Buren, and we're going to talk about a number of things, but I also brought up with him the having the idea of maybe consolidating some of our programming or some of the services that we provide and they provide with the as far as the parks. I told Bob is ill tonight, so he wasn't here, but I ran it by him. He thought it was a pretty good idea, so I just wanted to see what you guys thought about it before I talked to him.
I'm good with it.
What kind of, are we looking at consolidating every program, or what are we looking at?
Well, that's what the discussion will be about.
Okay.
Just
you know, we would have to take I don't think that we would do the maintenance of it. I think that, you know, the grounds and things like that would be in there. I'm thinking more of the program we have, because realistically, we had 8 programs that Parks and Rec ran. I think that if we work something out so that Van Buren handles that part of it, scheduling and taking in the fees for the programming that we run over here, like the GEMS program, the lady that, I can't recall her name right now, but the lady that runs the GEMS program sent me an email wanting to know what we're going to be doing for this following year. And
father daughter dance too, or
you know things like that.
Let it all encompass people,
yeah,
instead of just Lysander, because I think it's all Vito anyways.
As opposed to hiring somebody, maybe they can take that over. I don't know. Maybe there's other things. I don't know. You know, but I thought it would be worth. I mean, Van Buren and us and Baldwinsville, I mean, we're all pretty closely related here, so.
No,
I thought it would be
I
a good time to do that, to see if we can work something out that would be beneficial to us both and maybe save some money for us.
I don't disagree. One thing we had a conversation about was adult recreational activities for the town. So that's something that I'm still interested in as a board member. You could bring that up to Club Sykes with Van Buren. I'm not sure if they offer anything. But I thought that was a unique avenue that we could take, because most of our programming as of now has focused on younger school-age kids.
Not most of it. I think almost all of it. I mean, other than a couple of things that, you know, we just offer, like the car show and things like that, but they run themselves. But I think, you know, we can get into, if you go into the bigger cities, you go into Boston or New York City, you know, a lot of that programming, that's run by private individuals, and they contract through the city. But, you know, I think we could get into, we have a lot of things that other, that Lysander doesn't have. They don't have the fields that we have, and they don't have they don't have a spray park. I mean, that's something that they don't have. I mean, we could still handle that, but you know, volleyball courts and things, if we get stuff out there that people can just come and use, you know, as opposed to having to have most of the budget for the parks going towards salaries, maybe we shift that a little bit and going towards facilities that people can come in and use that maybe they can't get over in Van Buren or in the village or somewhere else. But these are things that, you know, I just wanted to throw that out. I wanted to talk to them about it. And then maybe like Pete and I were talking, and Jeff, you know, we have people in there now with the current situation we have with the recreation supervisor. He couldn't pick up a shovel. So when there was things that needed to be done, he would just stand around pointing his finger, you know? I mean, and if we weren't running programs, right, which we weren't this year, he had, you know, little to do. So I think there's other situations where we might be able to, for instance, there's a title of, it's maintenance crew leader. So it's not a crew leader, it's a maintenance crew leader. And they can do, they're a hands-on type person. So if we could get the programming run through, if we could work something out with Van Buren where they run the programming through, then we hire somebody else to do, to make sure that our facilities here are well maintained, because we started on it this year.
Is that, and that's a seasonal too, right? So in the winter time, that person isn't working, right?
Well, we can work it out.
Yeah,
you know, we'll have to work that out. See, yeah, see who we can get and how we can do that. But you know, maybe do something like that.
Have we ever done anything with the school? Like, I just think off the top of my head, like a wintertime volleyball for adults. But you obviously need it in
right.
gymnasium. Have we ever done anything with a school? And
I don't know.
Like
I don't know. But that's something that.
I think the bigger thing is gym space in the schools in the wintertime. Well, this year's a little different.
Prime real estate.
It's pretty prime real estate. Yeah. And you got to, I think, I know in school, Tony was using the school for when he had the summer playground program. Mm-hmm. They were charging us $80 an hour because they have to have a janitor on, they have to have two people on site when an activity is going on. And like I said, I think gym time is pretty well booked.
Well, I can see, you know, for the high school, I guess you got basketball games and all that stuff. But
even all the other schools.
All the other schools, they all got youth league, like intramural league for the junior basketball players. And
I think men's leagues, they got men playing basketball in there too.
Yeah.
See, that's why when we were looking at the park, you know, maybe shifting gears, the field space, right, Jeff? Field space is at a premium. So that's something that there's an opportunity for us to maybe get more utilization of that park with field space for lacrosse and soccer.
We had a lot of club teams approach us for use of field. It's right now too.
Yeah.
It's I mean, we have plenty of it, so
yeah, we should.
And it's limited.
Soccer and those things.
Soccer.
There's a lot of players that grew up with my kids.
Lacrosse.
Yeah.
You know, everything.
Bob, I'm okay with the conversation. I just ask you to mention it to Claude that I'd be interested in seeing adult programming too, especially if the Town of Lysander is funding anything.
Well, I think that's. You know, part of the thing would be, I think, you know, and I haven't flushed it out, but if we want programming, we would tell them, look, at this type of programming we want. Can you handle the administrative portion of it? Because that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's taking in registration, setting it up, and then our people here could make sure the fields and things like that are all done. So it'd be they'd be working together, but yeah, we can come up with any
so
program we want.
We'd still be involved with helping to
set
some of the.
Yeah, it's going to be, they'll be our programs, just run, you know, the administrative portion of it, run through them, and at least that's how I'm seeing it.
Okay, I mean, I just wanted to make sure we're not washing our hands of it and telling Van Buren they can do whatever they want to do, and because they're running the administrative end of the programming, I just want to make sure that we have a voice in it, that's all.
Okay.
That's good.
consolidation of Patchett Water District and Cold Springs.
So we were notified we had deficiency in hydrants along Patchett Road, the dead end of Patchett Road in the east side, east of River Road. We got about 1,600 feet that has no hydrants. The maximum spacing for fire hydrants is 600 feet. We were actually notified by this from a volunteer and resident from Belgiumsville Cold Springs Fire Department. Because fire protection is a responsibility of the town, now that we're aware of it, we need to address it. In the process of doing research on what it would cost to install the hydrants and have Aqua do the maintenance on them, I discovered that we have this Patchett Road Water District that is really just the eastern end of Patchett Road, the dead end, that's in the middle of the overall Cold Springs Water District. It was almost like an overlay district that was done to extend water down Patchett Road so that only the residents that lived on Patchett Road paid the debt service. At this time, the debt service is gone, and there's no need for us to have this second overlay district on top of the Cold Springs Water District, because those residents on Patchett Road pay the hydrant maintenance fee, or the portion of the hydrant maintenance fee that for the Cold Springs Water District, plus for the two hydrants that they have. It only makes sense to, before we install these new hydrants that need to be installed, to roll the Patchett Road, essentially it would be we're getting rid of the Patchett Road Water District and just having the Cold Springs Water District boundary as it was. There is a process that we have to go through. From what I read, I think the first step of the process is you have to pass a resolution authorizing me to do a study to show the benefits of district consolidation.
Which is pretty much what you just explained, basically.
I think it can be as simple as a letter. The other thing that I think we should change on that is that right now the Cold Springs Water District is an ad valorem district, which doesn't make any, to me, having an ad valorem water district doesn't make any sense. The resident that's got a $300,000 house doesn't receive any more benefit from having public water than the resident that has a $200,000 house. Everybody receives the same fire protection service. It should be a unit charge like 95% of our districts are. Now, why Cold Springs Water District was set up as ad valorem, I don't know. But to me, having an ad valorem water district doesn't make, from a financial standpoint, does make a lot of sense. So at the same time, we would, my study would recommend that the Cold Springs Water Supply District be switched to a unit charge district, with each residential property paying one unit and any vacant properties paying a half unit. But you can do an exemption for vacant agricultural properties. So if it's just a farm field, we're not going to charge them a unit district cost, a water district unit charge, where right now those agricultural fields pay a water district unit charge because it's ad valorem.
All right, so this question might be premature because you haven't really done the study, Al. What does this mean to the person who owns the $200,000 house, and what does this mean to the person who owns the $300,000 house? Like, compared to what they're used to paying and what they're going to pay?
$2 a year, like less than $10 a year.
The change.
One way or the other, yeah.
Okay, so either going up 2 to 10 or down 2 to 10.
Yeah, it's not a huge difference in any stretch of the imagination. And if anything, it provides a benefit to farmers in that agricultural land isn't going to pay a special district charge.
Okay, and that includes the cost of the hydrants and installation and all that as well?
So the cost of the three hydrants to do the financing through Aqua, through their bonding system, 30-year bond, if you look at the Cold Springs Water District as a whole, it's like $3.50 per house, or per connection, not including any half unit connections for vacant building lots. And if it was just Patchett Road, it's just under $60 per resident on Patchett Road annually for the debt service and hydro maintenance charge.
Okay. And one more question. The ag properties, is there any, do they for any reason use the water that's going there? Like, do they use the water that's going by those properties or no? They don't tap into it in any way?
Nope.
Okay. They're not, no sprinkler systems?
But no. If they do tap into it, they have to pay.
Exactly. They have to pay a charge. But as of right now, out in Cold Springs, none of our produce farmers in the town actually use public water. The cost is too high for them to justify it, especially when we have adequate groundwater readily available on most of our good agricultural land. But on the Cold Springs Peninsula, the only agricultural you really have is grain crops, which aren't irrigated.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any irrigated.
There is not. It's all corn or soybeans.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So what do we have to do?
We should adopt a resolution authorizing Al to do the report.
Yeah, the study for district consolidation.
Once we do that, the difference, if we were doing it with a municipality, we'd have different boards, like the village and the town. Here are their districts, we are the board. There's no more district commissioners anymore. Mm-hmm. So we are the board for both districts, which makes it easy. So once the report is done, we then have to have a public hearing, go through the thing. Obviously, we're going to pass it because we're going to vote for both sides. And get that's the end. It's relatively easy, only because there's no commissioners.
Yeah.
Good job, Al.
You want to write those two things up, so those resolutions for tonight, and I'll add them to our agenda, D and E?
Sure, so D is the planning board one, correct?
Planning board, yeah.
Yep.
That's all I have.
We need to...
Thank you, Al. Yep.
Maybe we should wait till the report's done before we set the public hearing.
Yeah, we should wait till the report's done. And I think that's going to end up realistically being scheduled for after the first of the year.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm good.
Well, I have one other thing that we can talk about.
Sure. Go ahead. We got to...
So, in part of as part of the voice over IP phone system upgrade that we're looking into, our existing Spectrum 5x50 data service here is marginal at best for running voice over IP. I contacted Verizon about a Fios connection. They just put Fios across the street about a year ago. They gave me a quote for a 200x200 service, or sorry. 400, there's two options. There's a 200x200 service for $99 a month, or a 400x400 service that's $159 a month. Currently, we pay just under $300 a month for Spectrum for our data service connection. The Fios connection is a 2-year contract, so there's a cost savings there. They haven't gotten an answer on if we have to pay anything for them to run the drop into the building because they have to go under the roads.
Yeah.
So I asked that question today if there's cost associated.
They'll do a site survey once the contract is signed.
I don't want to sign a contract until I know how much that costs.
No, right, but there's always out clauses too. Tony could read those.
Okay.
Yeah. If it's like 2 or 3 times more than MMR, monthly recurring charge, there's out clauses on that because they're not going to hold you to $129,000 build-out cost.
Well, yeah, that's
you know, I mean, I've seen a $3 million build-out cost, you know.
Yeah, so that's the one unknown on this. If we can move forward, is if we have, if there's significant cost to run the drop into the building, we may have to upgrade our Spectrum contract to a higher
product, and it's a huge savings. So
yeah, if we can get the Fios installed for a reasonable amount, that would be Jeff and mine's recommendation that we go to FiOS. Like I said, the one unknown here is how much the cost is to run the FiOS into the building. I'm hoping that they'll do the site survey before we sign a contract with them. You know? That's what I asked today. I asked. I mean, I don't know. The one problem with spec or with Verizon is, and our IT support said the same thing today. Customer service with Verizon is.
But with FiOS, you're not going to have a problem like you would with Spectrum because you don't need their customer service. That's why, you know, when FiOS replacing all the copper facilities, eliminating field techs out there, field techs don't like it because they're not reporting on trouble tickets anymore because FiOS is so reliable.
The process to get a quote out of Verizon's, it was a 3-day process. Yeah. Legit 3-day process from when I contacted them.
Until next week, anyways.
It's just like it's almost like they don't want to sell their product.
Well, I'd be a little more comfortable signing a contract after I knew how much it was going to cost to
make
the drop.
There's outs, though. You could see that in the agreement. There's always outs. Well, there's an out saving that because they're not going to send. They're not going to spend money to say, hey, you know, can you deliver to me if you know you're not serious? Well, you know, that's just the way they operate. We go through it as well, too.
So that's something that's on the front burner, trying to move it forward. Hopefully we'll be in a position to pass a resolution at our next meeting to
make the switch.
Move on that. They also... Verizon Business also happens to offer a voice over IP phone product as well that may be trying to get a quote out of them today. They're going to call me back.
But didn't we already cover that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's less money, then...
Yeah, we didn't get a quote out of them.
Yeah, we're not looking to raise the money.
We're not looking
to raise the spend.
Well, I know, I recognize that, of course, I understand that.
Yeah.
But
Usually,
sometimes when they're bundled, you know, there's factors involved that can offer quality of service on that line, too, so that way there's no jitterness, or when you're talking on a phone, you hear that little echo once in a while. They could tag the traffic back at the switch. Plus, it's one bill, one throat to choke. You're not pointing fingers. It's your phone vendor. It's your internet connection. You know, you're not getting any of that either, so...
We also get it.
Syracuse Tech, it's the switch. You know, now you're pointing fingers at two people as opposed to three.
The other advantage is we do get a government pricing discount from Verizon through our franchise agreement with them. So it may end up being a little less than the quotes that we've already got. But we'll get asked. We don't know until we ask.
Right.
Like I said, the process of getting anybody to actually talk it to you from Verizon is...
Like you call for your cell phone or something.
Yeah.
Instead of for hours to
bang my
couple
head
weeks,
on the table and
bring more information to the table.
Those are a couple things that are on the front burner. Hopefully we'll have some answers for our next meeting.
All right.
Hopefully. Okay. I have something that everybody may already know. I don't know if Jerry sent this out, but we were part of a class action lawsuit for Navistar, started this a while ago, and we joined in, and it's because of the parts that we put in and the repairs that we had to make. Bottom line is we're gonna get about $11,000 because of the money we've already spent fixing the stuff that they claim was wrong. So these are class action suit, and we had to submit all of our bills that pertain to that particular, I forget the part, but pertain to that particular part. And they finally, the court finally approved it, and we've got 30 days to let them know if we want to challenge it or appeal it. Otherwise, it looks like we're going to get $11,352. So we did it, you know, when Jerry did it, and I said, but it's worth a try. So I sent the paperwork in, he gave me all the bills and stuff, we sent it in.
Is that international that was always in the shop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Good to get a little money back.
Actually, I think it's both internationals that were always in the shop. The 10-wheeler and truck 14, a little bit
right.
International.
We had a fair amount of
Yeah, we did.
Money spent on that stuff.
Yeah.
So nice to get some back.
That's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That 10-wheeler, I think, at last total, I think you spent almost $80,000 in repairs on it.
It's terrible. Spent more time in shop than plowing our roads.
Mm-hmm. Even the new one that we just got 2 years ago has been on the hook 3 times and had to get towed to the dealer.
The International.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we're buying Western Stars.
Pretty sure it is. Pretty sure that's the reason. The reliability just isn't there anymore. He's not going to forget that.
Remember who made me buy the International?
I know.
Famous farmer. Yeah.
All right. You got anything else? All right. We'll close the work session at 6:36.